My guest is trumpeter Buck Clayton. He was one of the great sidemen of the Count Basie Band from 1936 to 1943. These days, he leads his own orchestra in New York. He says of all the records he made with Basie, his favorite is Fiesta in Blue. After his years with Basie, Clayton recorded dozens of records, some with fellow Basie alumni like Billie Holiday, Jimmy Rushing, and Dickie Wells, others with jazz greats like Benny Goodman and Teddy Wilson. Clayton grew up in Parsons, Kansas. As a teenager, he ran away from home and jumped a freight train to Los Angeles to be closer to a jazz scene. But he got his break with Basie close to home while passing through Kansas City.
I actually was on my way to join Willie Brandt in New York City. But on the way, I stopped to visit my mother in Parsons, which is about a two-hour ride from Kansas City. And after I saw my mother and my family, then I went to Kansas City just to listen to these guys that I'd heard so much about, Basie and Joe Jones and Lester. And it was right there that... The band just knocked me out. I never heard anything like it. And Lips Page had just left the band. So Basie asked me would I join. And I didn't tell him yes right away. I thought about it, but I was a little bit afraid of taking Lips Page's chair because I had heard about Lips all my life as a great trumpet player. But anyway, after a couple of days, I decided to join Basie because I knew they were going to New York anyway.
He had no money to pay you. How did they work it out?
Well, everybody was making $2 and a quarter a night before I got there. $14 a week, a little more. So they all chipped in the quarter and made my salary, which made my salary come to $2 a night.
After you joined the Basie Band, the band went to New York. Were you ready for New York when you got there? Were you prepared for it?
Well, we thought we were till we ran into Woody Herman. And that kind of showed us that we had a lot more to learn, because Woody kind of embarrassed us in the Roseland Ballroom.
How did he embarrass you?
They played the same number that we played and played it better than we did. So we were a little upset about that. But anyway, we were put back on the road again. We weren't quite ready yet. So we had to get back on the one-nighters and rehearse some more.
When the band came to New York, you weren't all used to recording contracts and the New York club scene. Was Basie initially a little bit naive about how to handle the economics of the big band life in New York?
Yes, he was. Very much. Basie didn't know anything about anything when we first got to New York. But he learned later. He got stung quite a bit. Several promoters took advantage of it, you know. They would tell Basie, this is Count, we don't want you to worry about anything. We don't want you to pay. Don't worry about your bills. You just take care of the music. So they would give Basie a checkbook of full checkbook and tell him to sign his name on the bottom, and we'll take care of it, you know. And he did. He signed the whole thing. And on, I think, the first 15 numbers we made, he signed all of the copyright over to the recorder. So we didn't get any royalties for so many of the things that we did.
Your very first recording session was in 1937, accompanying Billie Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
In your autobiography, you write about how you liked to play during her breaths, and that you'd watch her mouth when she was singing to see when she was breathing. Could you explain how you would do that?
Well, they would put me very close to Billie. In fact, we used the same mic. And I could watch her, and when she praised a certain segment of the music, I would be sure not to play while she was singing in that. But as soon as she would stop to go into another phrase, I would come in with what we call filling up the windows. It's just to, you know, to keep it going until she got ready to come back for the next phrase, and I'd cool out.
When we want to love,
after the war, you did a lot of playing in your own groups and other people's groups. You toured, you played in New York. You were really quite active until you had a lip problem, and this was in the late 1960s, I think, that your lip first started to give you trouble. What went wrong? I think this is a trumpeter's nightmare that something's going to happen to their lip.
Yes, it is. But my trouble was with my teeth. Because years before that, I had broken a tooth, and that's very deadly when a trumpet player breaks his teeth. And as a result, I had to have a bridge made. And then when the bridge was made, as I got older, my gums receded, but the bridge didn't recede, and it left a little thing in there that was cut my lip every time I'd play. And from then on, that's when the trouble started. And I just had to depend on arranging and composing.
Have you been able to play since?
Oh, I don't even try now. I don't play anymore. I haven't played for about 10 years.
Have you missed it a lot?
No, because I'm just as interested in writing as I was in playing, maybe a little more.
So what's the latest band that you're working with now?
Well, the latest band, I have a group formed in New York where everybody has at one time played with big bands. They're all stars, but they like to play my arrangements.
And will you be in front of the band conducting?
I'll be doing that.
Well, great. I wish you the best, and I thank you very much for talking with us.
It's been a pleasure.